This show is supported by State Farm. You have insurance for your home, your health, and your car. Why don't you have insurance for your small business? So many small business owners think they don't need or don't even know about small business insurance. Protecting a source of revenue is one thing, but so is protecting all of your hard work and your team members. State Farm agents are all small business owners too, so they know how to help small business owners choose personalized policies that fit their budgets. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
If your roof starts to leak or your floors really squeak, you live in a money pit.
Money pit.
If your basement needs a pump or your place looks like a dump, you live in a money pit.
Money pit.
Pick up the telephone, fix up your home sweet home. I call it 888 Money Pit.
Coast to coast and floorboards to shingles, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler. And coming to you today from a very special location, I am in Arlington, Massachusetts, the site of the latest project for the 37th season of This Old House. And today is the final day of production, and we are here right in the midst of all of the craziness, the cameras, the sawdust, the people, to bring you the story of this amazing home and its renovation by the awesome team at This Old House. And an amazing home it is, the transformation of this home from a plain Jane arts and crafts home where you could barely tell what the style was to what they've brought you today is absolutely amazing. So you've got to follow along at thisoldhouse.com. You can watch the first 8 episodes there. You can also, of course, watch them on your local PBS station. Just check for local listings or follow them on social media at This Old House on Twitter and Facebook, hashtag TOH Arlington. Coming up this hour, we're going to get all the details straight from This Old House team. Plus, we're going to talk to the design pros that helped bring the vision to life. Well, each project taken on by This Old House has very unique characteristics, and this home certainly does as well. It was built in 1909 in a style called Arts and Crafts. To learn more about the home and the style it embodies, we welcome a guy who certainly embodies style in all his work and in his flannel shirts, Norm Abram. Welcome, Norm.
It's good to be here.
It's so great to have you back again. First of all, 37th season. Let's let that sink in.
Yeah.
That's a lot of years.
It's a lot of years.
You have inspired millions of people with your work on This Old House and Ask This Old House and Yankee Workshop. What keeps you going?
Yeah, I guess it's the fans. You know, I rock into a grocery store and someone comes up to me and says, "You know, I'm Abram," and say, "Yeah," and they said, "Oh, we watch your show all the time," and they just start these conversations, and they're all so grateful for what we all do. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they respect the brand and they watch the shows. They obviously know what's going on, and so that's a good feeling. You know, to have that going. It doesn't feel like 37 years.
Right.
I mean, I realize it's over half my life so far. And that was kind of a shock.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's an interesting process. Mm-hmm. I love construction. I love building things. And I love sharing the information with the public.
Now, this home is built in a style called Arts and Crafts. And right. I understand that Nick and Emily, we talked with them earlier. Emily actually figured that out with a Google search, which is how we do things today.
Yeah.
But Arts and Crafts was actually a pretty common design to this particular part of the country, right?
Yeah, well, it came, you know, I think there's a lot of Arts and Crafts influence across the country, actually. And here in the Northeast, you see it. But you see it in a different form than most people expect it to be.
Okay.
And that's what happened with our house in the first shoot that we did here. And Kevin came up and I said, "Well, what's the style?" I said, "Arts and Crafts." He goes, "That's not an Arts and Crafts." I said, "Yes, it is. It's an early version of Arts and Crafts. It's much more influenced by the English." I mean, Arts and Crafts really started in Europe, in England. And it was really came about because it was a transitional period between, you know, the Victorian era and very fancy and detailed things to be more about craftsmanship.
Right.
It's about how things are done and how well they're done.
I thought it was ironic that in England they saw Victorian homes as factory made.
Right.
Made rubbish.
Right, right. That's one of the distinguishing factors is that Arts and Crafts was, you know, just the opposite of factory made. It was all handmade and there was individual craftsmen working on it. Our house here is very subtle in terms of craftsman style. The cement on the gables, the half timbers on the gables, and the steep pitched roof, and a little bit of the overhang and brackets. And as Richard Duffy, who's our expert here, and this town has treasure trove of right. all styles of houses, he said, you know, it's subtle, but it's there.
Right.
So we went on a little tour. And I don't pretend to be an expert about arts and crafts, but I learned a lot from him. He took me to a house that represents arts and crafts in a way most people would picture it. So you say, what makes this arts and crafts? The large overhangs, you know, the steep roof pitch, the boxed out bay window.
Right.
And that house had an entrance door that was a little different. I challenged him on that, and he said, well, you know, this is a New England thing. This
right.
is definitely a period, New England period entry, so sometimes we call this Craftsman New England.
Right.
But then he said, I can show you something that most people will recognize as Craftsman style, which is a bungalow. And that's what most people think. You're
right.
out in California, you see all these craftsman-style homes. I personally love a lot of the features of the of the craftsman-style homes.
Yeah.
You know, the shed dormers and the later ones, you see these porches where the roof line comes down and it encompasses the porch as well. And you see columns made out of stone that are tapered and nice window details. That's when you start to see what most people think is arts and crafts. Then he took us to another one, which was sided, much like ours. It had the cement and the half timbers on the gables. But what gave you a signal that it was an arts and crafts is that the roof lines are often very steep, and they start from the very top, and they come all the way down to the first
right.
floor, and sometimes have that slight little curve.
Right. It's like almost like a ski jump or
right.
something. You know,
right.
It shoots all the way down from the top. Yeah.
Right. So they're very subtle. And they also, in that house, the windows, you can look at the windows sometimes are a cue to arts and crafts. The top third of the window would be divided lights. The bottom third is a single pane of glass. And so it's all these little things that you start to see, but where you really see it is when you go to a house and you go on the inside and you see the inside of the house. We took us to the Payne Estate, where there's a house there that we just spent our time on the inside. And what was interesting about that is that really brought out the fact about craftsmanship.
Right.
That was a house that was designed by H.H. Richardson. It was built in 1886. And when we went up to the fireplace, there were these very intricate carvings that went down each side of the fireplace to support the mantle. And you have to really look at it closely, but they weren't the same. But they were close to the same.
Right.
And he said, well, you know, the idea was that he brought in all these craftsmen, and they were given a certain amount of freedom to show their own style.
So each one was made by a separate craftsman.
Right. You look at even small turnings on an area where there's a seating area for
right.
a rail. They're all slightly different.
Yeah.
And that just gives you the sense that, you know, these were done one at a time. And it's all about the quality of the work that gets done.
Well, one thing that's so special about this old house is you let those homes tell the story, mm-hmm. just as every one of those pieces tell the story. I want to segue here to a new a partnership you guys have formed with Mike Rowe.
Right.
You and Mike have gotten together, and I've talked with Mike about this, about the skills gap. The fact right. is that there are more jobs out there than there are young people to fill them. And you've really taken a bold step forward with a campaign called Generation Next.
Right.
Tell us about it.
Well, Generation Next is really a way that we want to give and make available the opportunity and encourage people to look into the skilled trades as an occupation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. Ever since we've announced this initiative, I have people coming up to me saying, I had no idea. And when you tell them the story and you say, look, there's millions of jobs out there that are not being filled.
Right.
And we need to teach people how to fill those jobs. Because if we don't do that, who's going to take care of your home? Who's going to do your plumbing? Who's
right.
going to do the electrical? Not everyone needs a four-year education. And as Mike Rowe says, he doesn't shortchange education. But we want to be able to raise money that we can put into Mike Rowe's foundation, MicroWorks. And then those will be given out by him for scholarships to people who qualify.
And actually, your project house for one of the project homes for next season, well, the entire profit on that is going to go to the MicroWorks Foundation, and you're going to feature some of those young craftsmen working side by side with the masters.
Absolutely. We want to set the course, and we want to do a lot of profiles. There'll be a lot of stuff, a lot of things on the web. We want to profile people who have gone into the trades and love it.
Norm Abram, thank you so much again for all that you do, all that you've done over 37 years with this old house.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
You live in a bonnie pit.
Everyone should know that drinking water is important to staying hydrated and healthy. Having safe, clean water is the last thing you want to worry about, but unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants right in its tap water.
That's why we are thrilled to be working with AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing. It removes 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters and is specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS in your water supply. And they have water purifiers to fit every type of home, from installation-free countertop purifiers to higher capacity under-sink options. They even have a Wi-Fi-connected purifier and mineral boost options.
And its proprietary purification technology is independently tested by IAPMO to NSF and ANSI standards to remove over 80 of the most harmful contaminants, including chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, PFAS known as forever chemicals, nitrate, and many more. I can truly taste the difference when I compare it with my old water filter. AquaTrue saves you money also. Just one set of filters from their classic purifier makes the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water. That's less than 3 cents a bottle. Plus, you'll save the environment from tons of plastic waste.
AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and even makes a great gift. And today, Money Pit listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to AquaTrue.com, that's AquaTrue.com, and enter code MONEYPIT at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use promo code MONEYPIT, MONEYPIT.
Today's Money Pit is presented by Caseta by Lutron. Simple to use, simple to set up. Learn how you can win a $5,000 smart home upgrade at OurLifeUpgrade.com. No purchase necessary. Ends 12/15/16.
Making good homes better. Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler on location today in Arlington, Massachusetts on this, the wrap day, the final production day of the 37th season of This Old House. We're witnessing the rebirth of a beautiful 1909 arts and crafts home. Well, just as important as what happens inside this beautiful 1909 arts and crafts home is what happens outside. The property itself needed attention and vision, which came in large part from landscape architect Kimberly Turner, who joins us now. Welcome, Kimberly.
Hi.
So you had quite a project here. I read on your bio that you believe strongly in the power of collaboration in the design process. That includes both the clients and the landscape. Do you try to have everybody sort of talk to you in their own way and bring it all together?
I do. And that goes to landscape contractor, the client, the architect, everyone who's involved in a design way with the house.
So what did this project say to you when you first saw it?
The project needed a lot of work. It was a landscape that had been not tended to for quite a long time. So it was a lot of overgrowth, overgrown forsythias, a lot of encroachment of the plant beds, and just sort of needed to be tidied up a bit.
There was a landscape underneath all that, but it was a little hard to see because
That's right. So
overgrown. And so the design here really encompassed both the land in terms of the trees and the plants that you added, but also sort of the structural elements with the patio and the steps and all of that elevation. Is working on a lot that's this hilly kind of a challenge?
It is a challenge, but it's one that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. You can create a lot of spaces just by moving the topography around. So we have a few different levels out there now where there was sort of a consistent slope. We've, moved the grades around to create plateaus here and there that sort of define the spaces.
So if someone's listening and has never really considered working with a landscape architect, tell us about the process. What do you sort of bring to that first meeting?
Sure. So, my job is really to marry the architecture with the landscape. Mm-hmm. So if there is an architect or an interior designer involved, they like to talk about how the views from inside the house will work with the outside of the house, how you're going to enter into the landscape and, really sort of expand your living space.
With this particular property, what do you think was the most challenging aspect?
There are a few things. Again, it was very overgrown. We needed to kind of create more open space for their dog and their child to be able to run around and play. There were some budget considerations that we had as well, and also some regulatory considerations as well. You know, there were some things that we couldn't do because we needed to go through a permitting process that we just didn't have the time for.
Now, you had to take out a beautiful large tree here. You had to put new trees in. When you're doing a design like that, what are some of the considerations that would help you kind of go through to find the right combination of trees and shrubs and so on?
So I study the microclimate of the landscape. I like to sort of study where the sun patterns are, what's done well there historically, and then I choose my plant palette based on native plantings that also sort of fit with the unique microclimate of this particular site.
How long have you been doing this in this area? Has it always been a passion for you?
It has. I mean, I've been interested in it since high school. I've been doing it for over, well, probably 15, almost 20 years now.
Yeah. Well, it's fantastic. And it really did an amazing job here, the transformation. I've seen a lot of these, and sometimes the landscape doesn't get as much attention. But this really was a very big contributing factor to the beauty that we're seeing here today, because you really have resculpted the land here to create something that was sort of underlying, but it needed to have sort of the mud and the dirt and the overgrowth sort of pulled away. And what you've left behind here is really, really beautiful.
Thank you.
Kimberly Turner, landscape architect on this old house project. Thank you so much for stopping by the Money Pit. And remember, you can follow the progress on your local PBS station and at thisoldhouse.com. Plus, you can get details and behind-the-scenes photos by following at This Old House on Twitter and Facebook. Hashtag TOH Arlington. Well, the craftsmanship that this home exudes includes not only the building itself, but the substantial amount of work done by this old house landscaping contractor, Roger Cook. And Roger, looking at the before and after of a home like this, I got to say, you are more of a very talented sculptor in the way you have shaped this property. It really is a pretty spectacular transformation. Welcome.
Thank you.
You know, I was kidding you before. Sometimes when I see you on these projects, I ask you what you did, and it's like I threw down some sod. But you did a heck of a lot more than that on this one, buddy. I mean, you really made some major changes. Let's talk about some of the work. What were your first impressions when you saw this place?
It was a treed lot.
Okay.
And my first thing was that I saw potential.
Right.
But there were a lot of trees in the way of that potential. So the first thing we did was to clear the lot of a lot of dying and diseased trees. Mm-hmm. And that really opened everything up.
Yeah, and one of the things that you cleared was a beautiful silver maple. That was a massive tree and a big project, wasn't it?
Well, it wasn't beautiful. It was massive. It was full of disease and rot. And typical of silver maples.
Yeah.
And it had to go. And that was one of the first trees we took out. It was huge. It was absolutely huge.
Yeah, and you did it strategically by sort of disassembling it from the top down. What a great job.
Well, it was interesting. You know, you haven't lived until you've seen a tree fall up.
Right.
And that's what happened with all these trees. The company came in and set up a 80-foot crane, I believe, and just picked them up, lifted them up in the air, dropped them at the chip truck. They went through the chip truck. All gone. Bye.
Done, right? And amazingly quick, too.
2 days.
Wow. Now, let's talk about some of the masonry work that you did here, especially this patio. That was quite a big project, and it's really impressive you used a herringbone design for that.
Yeah, it is challenging, especially when it comes to the cuts.
Yeah.
And that's one thing people have to realize. When you do a herringbone on a 45, that when you get to the end, you're going to have lots of little pieces. And fortunately, we discovered a new saw, which doesn't emit any dust. It all gets sucked back into the saw. It makes our job a lot easier.
Yeah, because very often when you see those saws working, there's just a cloud of dust, and it's got to be a, you know, not a very pleasant environment to work in.
Right, and it's very hard to do your best work when all that dust and water and everything else is flying around. So this saw eliminates the water, and it just sucks all the, it has a vacuum, and it sucks all the particles in, and it just makes the person doing the work more comfortable, makes for a better job.
And the transformation of the front of this home, home where you had different changes in the elevation were pretty significant. You worked this all together to create kind of a stone, like almost retaining wall, and then beautiful steps up. I mean, when you do that kind of a job where you're regrading everything, is there a process to make sure it's all really solid before you start building on top of it?
Everything we do is only as good as the base is. So it all starts with a base. In most cases, we dig down 3 or 4 feet, or if we hit gravel, we know we're in good shape. And then from there, we start building up subgrade. And usually that's 3/4 inch stone, which is compacted to 6 inches below grade. And then we start putting stones for the stone wall in or the base for the walkways.
And invariably, when you see a failed set of stones like this or a failed patio, it's just that the original builder just didn't really do the complete job when it comes to prepping that base.
Right. It's easy to make something look good. It's hard to make it last. That's what we want to do, is we want to make everything so when we come back 10, 15, 20 years, the whole patio is still here, the wall's still here, the walk's still here.
Now, you also, in terms of, you talked about removing all of the trees and landscaping. You went tree shopping with these homeowners to try to find some new trees. What are the things that you're looking for when you go into a nursery like that? You're trying to select trees for a project like this. What are some of the things people should be thinking about?
I don't know. It's hard for me because I'm like a kid in a candy store. I'll take one of those.
Right.
You want to know what you're looking for. It's like anything. You go to buy a car, you want to know the specifics. Do you want a tree that's going to get big and tall, wide and fat, flower? You know what you need for specifics. Trust your nurseryman who's going to be working with you and go through and find 2 or 3 trees that fit the bill and then pick the one you need.
Roger Cook, the landscaping pro on This Old House. Thank you so much for, again, being a part of the Money Pit and an amazing transformation here.
Thanks for coming out.
This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show, broadcasting today from a beautiful arts and crafts home in this, the 37th season of This Old House in Arlington, Massachusetts. Just ahead, generations of families have lived in this home since 1909, and now generations of general contractors have helped restore it. Up next, we're going to talk to Charlie Silva, the nephew of This Old House's own Tommy Silva, about his role in the project after this.
This show is supported by State Farm. Insurance is a part of any solid financial plan. Making sure you have the important things in life covered is one of the best ways to give yourself a little breathing room when things go awry. It's important to protect not only your business, but yourself as a business owner and all current and future team members. State Farm agents know what it takes to run and protect a small business because State Farm agents are all small business owners and they live and work in your community. So they're deeply attuned to what's happening with other small businesses in your market. If you have a small business and are interested in making sure you're protected, reach out to your local State Farm agent to learn more about what you need. They'll help you find the right policy at the right price for your business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Making good homes better. This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler, and you can catch the Money Pit on air and online at moneypit.com, where you can also subscribe to the Money Pit podcast. And I'm coming to you today from a very special location. I am in Arlington, Massachusetts, where I'm enjoying the rare pleasure of watching the master tradesmen of This Old House finish up another amazing transformation of a home. It's a 1909 arts and crafts home in this, their 37th season. Now you can catch the next episode of This Old House on your local PBS station or catch all the prior episodes on thisoldhouse.com. And if you want to get some inside details and behind the scene photos, you can follow This Old House on Twitter and Facebook, hashtag TOH Arlington. Well, in any project like this, it takes a very good general contractor to keep everything on schedule and on track. My next guest did just that, and he'd better, or I bet his uncle would have a few things to say about it. It's Charlie Silva. He is the nephew of Tommy Silva, and welcome to the Money Pit, Charlie.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Now, I guess since your uncle is Tommy, what's it like to kind of follow in his footsteps? You've probably been doing this for a while.
Well, it's been a real long time we've been together. It's been around 35 years.
Wow.
So way back then.
So he's going to keep you, huh?
Yeah. I'm going to stay.
All right. That sounds good. So you really were the general, part of the general contractor in terms of organizing all the troops and keeping this project on track, on budget. It's an amazing transformation. So let's kind of start at the beginning. You had a lot of demolition to do. And one of the things I thought was fascinating is that when you guys take a house apart, you don't just throw the parts away. You moved a lot of the material that you took out into a recycling center. Let's talk about the concrete recycling and what happened with that.
Oh, the concrete recycling was just that. It, you know, obviously got demoed. And you can't keep, whether it's boulders and a lot of debris with it, rebar, a lot of times some place will separate it at the place. But, you know, you just can't have construction material in it because then it's not worth it to them.
Right.
So it's hauled to that site, and then that's where they do the crushing.
So it's totally crushed. So I saw these huge slabs of concrete go into a machine and come out the size of like 3/4-inch pebbles.
It's fascinating to actually think about what the machines can do. But it is recycling in the best of forms because if you think about it, that material, what good is it if it's not recycled?
Right, and you can bring it back to a site like this. You can use it for a base on the driveway or any other purpose like that.
Correct.
We need that kind of material. Yeah, pretty interesting. Another thing that was interesting about this house is the foundation. I'm a big fan of this system. It's called insulated concrete forms. And essentially what these are large foam blocks. I kind of think they're like Lego blocks for adults, right?
Exactly.
Talk about how that system works.
It's a great system. I mean, just starting, you know, from the foundation, the hole in the ground, you know, you pour your typical footings.
Right.
And exactly what I call them. I call them like Lego blocks.
Yep.
And you literally follow the plan and you snap them together.
And so these have two sides, both with a couple of inches or so of foam on either side. So once you fill the middle in with the concrete, you have a very tight, insulated, draft-proof wall there, right?
Absolutely. And then there's other benefits on the inside. It comes with a rib system inside it. So you don't, if you want to put a wall up or drywall or paneling or whatever, it already has a basically a studded wall within the form that you can screw your plywood to or drywall.
So you can attach directly to the form, which is something you couldn't certainly do with concrete. You always have to have an additional furring strip or something like that, but it's internals, what you're saying, the structure. So you can attach right to that foam in this case.
And if you're going to attach right to the concrete, it's not going to be insulated. Now it's insulated. It creates a thermal break in itself, and it's a great system.
Now, you also did a lot of work on the porch of this house, and I think it's important to note that, you know, the outside face of this building has completely transformed as a result of the excellent work that you guys have done. But that porch really needed a lot of demolition and a lot of reconstruction. Can you kind of explain what happened with that to our audience?
Well, when we started here, first conversations with the customers was about this front porch. Because it's the first thing you see when you pull up.
Right.
And there was different plans, different thoughts that went into it. But we took our time and we thought about everything from saving the roof structure, building within it. When we kept to the plan that they originally wanted with the sloped curved roof and flares on the bottom, we really had to take it down.
So it went down, completely off the building, and also it was extremely high. You had, I think, 10 steps to get up to it. You've been able to raise the grade on it. And I thought it was also interesting that the original porch didn't have any footing. I guess they didn't believe in footings back then, huh?
Back then they didn't have, because we have a stone foundation, the existing house.
Right.
And there wasn't any footings. It's just a couple of stones with some wood columns on them.
So now you did a precast footing in that on that porch, and that went down at 4 feet, correct?
Correct.
So it's now a solid, beautiful porch. You've got a standing seam copper roof on it. You've got these huge flared columns and beautiful staircase. It really added a lot of personality to the front of the house.
It did. And we unveiled it the other day. And it's the first thing you see when you pull up, and it's really great looking.
Now, another big part of this renovation was the addition you put on the backside of this. And like many old homes, it consisted of a lot of small rooms. It was hard to get a good flow in this room. But by putting this bump-out addition on, you really completely opened that space up. And you were able to do that through some ingenious use of structural steel. And you have a very, very long beam that you had to set for that. And that must have been some process.
That was probably our biggest challenge in this, is to support the entire back section of the house. The steel beam was able to span the entire width of the kitchen, post down to the existing stone foundation, and it carried the whole back side of the house, including the two additions above.
And you used the steel to frame the roof as well.
We did.
Well, that's fantastic. Charlie Silva is the general contractor on this, the 37th season house, project house for this old house. Again, you guys did an amazing transformation. I've been to many of these homes over the years, and everyone is beautiful, but this one, from a before and after perspective, spectacular. Congratulations, Charlie.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show on air and online at moneypit.com, coming to you from Arlington, Massachusetts on wrap day for the 37th season of this old house. And still ahead, remodeling a fine old home like this isn't just limited to the structure. This old house electrical contractor Scott Caron had his share of updates to tackle in this home. And I'll bet you may have some of these projects to do in your home. We'll be back with those details next.
You live in a money pit.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Making good homes better. Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler, coming to you today on location from Arlington, Massachusetts, the site of the current project on this, the 37th season of America's most popular home improvement television show, This Old House. Well, we love old houses, but they do have challenges when it comes to the mechanical systems, and that includes the electrical system. And updating that fell to This Old House electrical contractor, Scott Caron. Welcome, Scott.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
So you were a busy boy on this house. You know, when we see these old 1909 homes, you know, I guess the original wiring on these homes, which really was the first centrally wired system, was probably knob and tube. Is that right?
Yes, it was. We found a lot of knob and tube in this home. And the first thing we had to do was remove it.
Yeah, and let's talk a bit about knob and tube, because I think a lot of folks still have that around their home. They don't know exactly what it is, but we're talking about the type of wiring where it's strung on ceramic insulators, mm-hmm. and it's held sort of off of the beams. And they do that because it has to be air-cooled.
That's right. So the knobs are the insulators that kind of wrap around, the wire wraps around them. And then the tubes are when they drill through the wood members, they string it through the tubes.
And of course, that means you can't insulate it because you would be, you know, it's supposed to be air cooled. You can't put insulation on top of it.
Yep, that's the problem with it. So when it was installed by these craftsmen, these electricians that just had this art of running the wire through the bays and along the rafters. And they just did a wonderful job installing it. It was never made for insulation. It has an impregnated, some of that was cotton-based with a material that just wasn't made to be exposed to insulation. It was made to air out just in an open environment.
And that was just one of the many projects that you did on this house. But a big one was what you had to do with the main service entry cable. Now, in a beautiful neighborhood like this, very dense neighborhood, the mm-hmm. wires that feed these homes were typically run overhead. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that exposes them to icing damage and other types of failures. You had an opportunity here to move that wire underground, but that was a big project, wasn't it?
Certainly the wiring runs overhead, feeding all the stations, substations, and streets. You see it along the roadways. But in this instance, Arlington is a very old town. There's a lot of old trees that hang over the power lines. So right. The first thing that happens when we have an ice storm or snow or wind, pulls the wires down, and that's not good. So we were able to get about almost 300 feet of it underground,
wow.
which was a big asset for this home. So it'll protect, you know, a good portion of it.
What's that process like? Do you have to get permission from the utility company?
We have to get permission from the town first, mm-hmm. then the utility company, and then we do special street opening permits where we call utility marking companies to notify us where everything is. This 100-and-something-year-old house that had a lot of stuff put in the ground, so we had to find everything. Get an excavator out here, dig, and put the pipe in the ground from the telephone pole all the way underground to the house, two feet under.
And because nothing is easy with these projects, you also had a big old silver maple that was in the way, too.
Oh, that silver maple, boy. So we got the tree down, but then we had the root system that was still in there. So that was removed. Once that was all removed, we were able to get the pipe in the ground pretty easily.
We're talking to Scott Caron. He is the electrical contractor on this project for this old house. And, Scott, you also did, of course, wiring throughout the house, but I did see a segment where you did some wiring in the bathroom. And I want to talk a little bit about that because we get a lot of questions from our audience about the issues of mold and mildew and those sorts of things that happen in the bathroom. And you put in a state-of-the-art bathroom exhaust fan that helps to deal with some of that.
Certainly. It's a building code that we're responsible for kind of enforcing, making sure that we bring it up to the attention of the homeowner or the builder that every bathroom does need a ceiling fan now. Of course, one of the big long problems we have is the thing going to get turned on?
Right.
People think the old ones were noisy, they were forgetful, they didn't really care. So we made it completely automated now. All you have to do is walk in the bathroom, it comes on, and it also stays on a very low cycle so that it moves the air all the time, which is good for a healthy house.
Yeah, because most of the time people leave the bathroom and they turn off the lights, they turn off the fan, and then all of that moisture hangs in the air.
Yep.
And it leads to mold growth on the tile and mildew and mess and really increases the cleaning frequency need as well.
That's right. And, the mold and the mildew is half the product. Obviously, this smells that in a nice to fumigate. And that bathroom being right close to the kitchen, it was a great application for a 110 CFM fan, which is pretty high on the scale.
Now, there's a lot of exterior work done in the yard and the landscaping here. If somebody's doing exterior wiring for that sort of lighting, are there special precautions they have to take?
The low-voltage landscape lighting only needs to be down below the grade, about 6 inches. So it's a very good homeowner application where they can do it pretty easily and get away with it. It's only 12 volts, too, so it's very safe.
So that's one of the DIY jobs that somebody perhaps haven't tackled electrical work before could do. I would say replacing the main service entry cable is probably the other side of that spectrum.
You just hit them both. It's a good way to get into working with copper wire and kind of getting your fingers dexterity kind of wise.
Scott Caron from This Old House, thanks so much for stopping by the Money Pit.
You got it, Tom. Always a pleasure.
You are listening to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show, coming to you from the set of the 37th season of TV's This Old House. Follow all the progress at thisoldhouse.com or at This Old House on Twitter and Facebook, hashtag TOH Arlington. I'll be back with more after this.
You live in a money pit.
Today's Money Pit is presented by Caseta by Lutron. Simple to use, simple to set up. Learn how you can win a $5,000 smart home upgrade at OurLifeUpgrade.com. No purchase necessary. Ends 12/15/16.
Making good homes better. Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler, and production is wrapping up here in Arlington, Massachusetts on the final day of the 37th season with This Old House. And I'm so happy to have a guy sitting with me right now who's been here for almost, have you been here for all of those years? Every one of them?
31.
31 of 37. 31.
I turned him down the first 3 years.
You played hard to get. Tommy Silva, I'm glad you didn't play hard to get with us. Tommy, what a job here. I mean, we've been talking about it for the entire program. The transformation here, so incredible. All the work you guys do is great, but this one really lets your craftsmanship shine.
I mean, it's a beautiful house, the arts and crafts style. I love the arts and crafts style, but we mingled a little bit of the modern in with the arts and craft inside. But the detail outside is perfect. I mean, we matched it perfect on the addition. You can't tell the marriage where it began and where it ended. You know, and that's the key to a good addition.
Yeah, to look like it always used to be designed this way.
Yes, right? Exactly. And the thing is, the house had good bones, but it was in big trouble. From the siding
to the kitchen.
Yeah, and it seemed, you know, as soon as you pulled off layers, you found more issues. You found this foundation that was failed, for example, by exposing it, that.
That's pretty typical of these old places. I mean, let's face it, we're caretakers of these houses. Mm-hmm. And when you have a house of this era and you can see its grandeur somewhere in there, mm-hmm. and you can bring that back, that's the best, smartest thing that you can do. You do it right so it'll last forever.
Yeah, and you guys did do it right here. I mean, you took a house that was incredibly inefficient from an energy perspective. It was crowded. It was, you know, dark. And you really opened the whole thing up. You made it efficient. You made it comfortable. Emily and Nick now have a home that's going to last for generations.
Yeah, I mean, generations, we hope they stay here for a long time. They're from this town anyway, and they want to stay here. It's funny when you say we made it more energy efficient. I think they had, Nick had his own oil truck delivering oil once a week. It was amazing.
Sadly, the oil company would be very disappointed in the work that was done here.
Well, we took out all the old radiators, new radiant heat, state-of-the-art furnaces and boilers now. It's the way to go.
So 37 years. What do you think's kept the show going?
Honesty. Mm-hmm. I think that the show is real because they understand that there's no pretenders here. Mm-hmm. And we pour our heart and soul in doing things the right way, always have, always will, and never cut a corner to make it any other way.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, it's been a privilege to work with you guys over these last several years that we've been doing these broadcasts.
Yeah, it's been fun.
And I tell you, folks, what you see is what you get. These guys are as skilled and as honest and as engaging as they are on television. Every time I come and meet you guys, I'm always blown away by who you are and what you create.
Thank you very much. It's nice to hear.
Now, this house was built in 1909, but you guys added some bling to it. You got a lot of copper on the outside here,
copper.
Right?
Homeowner wanted to see copper.
Yeah.
We've got the copper downspouts, the copper gutters, and that amazing copper roof over the front porch.
Yeah, talk about a roof that'll last forever. It's standing seam copper roof, just so traditional and so magnificent, and it literally will never wear out.
Never wear out. I can't go wrong with copper.
I tell you, Tommy, we can't go wrong with you. I mean, one thing that I like about coming here, folks, is that these guys are as skilled and honest and engaging as they are on television. It's always such a privilege to be here with you and see your transformations one after another. We've been doing this for a bunch of years now, and it's always fun.
It's always fun, guys. Thank you for that.
All right. Thank you, Tommy Silva. And I'll tell you what, you got to follow this entire project, folks. Go to thisoldhouse.com. Catch up with the back episodes. Check your local PBS station to watch the new episodes. Follow them on Facebook and Twitter at This Old House, hashtag TOH Arlington. I'm Tom Kreitler. Remember, you can do it yourself, but you don't have to do it alone.
Thanks to State Farm for supporting this show and helping our listeners protect their businesses and lives. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.